Allow me to begin by, first of all, welcoming all of you to our beginning of our celebration of our 100th anniversary. And one of the first things we need to do always is to look back at all those who have gone before us marked with a sign of faith. If we believe in the communion of saints, and indeed we do, they are very much with us in our celebration, supporting us, encouraging us, and celebrating with us. And also, too, we need to look back because we have received remarkable things from those who have gone before us. Like, and we should never take it for granted, this beautiful church here, this beautiful structure with all this art and symbols and images that are meant to encourage us in our journey of faith. Take a look up into the ceiling for a moment. Just take a look up. And the architect, Carlton Strong, of this church, on purpose made the ceiling of this church look like an inverted ship. And he did it on purpose because he wanted to remind us of the promise that was made to the church, that the church is to be a ship, an ark, that's supposed to lead us through all the trials, the challenges, the storms, the hurricanes of life. And even sometimes those hurricanes of life come from inside the church. But the church is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And the church will always, as a ship, guide us through all of those turbulent seas. But also, too, you and I are called to look forward to the legacy you and I are meant to build. And way back when I first came, back in 2010, I shared a story with you that I hope will help us to be able to see a path forward for us and maybe give a little bit of a deeper look at what we begin to celebrate here today. And it's a story about the great composer Puccini, and who composed or wrote many, many different operas, one of them including even one I've heard of, and I know nothing about opera, called Madame Butterfly. Well, way back in 1922, at the age of 64, Puccini was stricken with cancer. And even with this awful disease that he had, he worked feverishly to try to finish his final opera, which was called Turandot. And he worked night and day. His students, his disciples, told him, slow down, take it easy, take your time. They never thinking that he was ever going to finish the opera. Well, things got worse for him. At a certain point, he told his disciples, probably you are going to have to finish this if I cannot. And the fateful day of his death came in 1924, and he died, stricken by his cancer. And so his disciples pored over the scores of the opera Turandot, studied them carefully, and actually finished the opera. To 1926, the premiere of Turandot in the great opera house, La Scala Opera House in Milan. It was to be a great big event. His favorite disciple, his beloved disciple, Arturo Toscanini, was going to be the conductor. Everything went well, beautifully, as far as Puccini was able to write. And then when he was no longer able to write anymore, Toscanini, with tears in his eyes, puts down the baton, stops the music, and turns to the crowd, the audience there, and he says to them, thus far, the master has written. You could hear not a sound in this opera house. Nobody spoke. Nobody said a word for several moments. Then, continuing with tears in his eyes once again, he turns around to the audience that was there, and he says, the disciples finished his work. And Turandot ended up having a great standing ovation. Nobody forgot the moment. And the story of Puccini, I think, has a striking resemblance to our gospel here today. Our master, the Lord Jesus, is about to breathe his last on the cross. And like Puccini, he is about to die. And like Puccini entrusted his work to his disciples, so Jesus entrusted his mother to his beloved disciple. But not only that, Jesus also entrusted to this very special friend of his, this beloved disciple, his vision for the church going forward. And this beloved disciple, this great follower of Jesus, created the most remarkable community that's known in the early church, which was the church in Ephesus. And he is the inspiration, this disciple at the foot of the cross of Jesus, for the mystical gospel of John. So let me now kind of connect all this to us, what we celebrate here today. Just like Puccini entrusted his work to his disciples, and just like Jesus entrusted his mother and his vision going forward to his beloved disciple in the gospel today, so Jesus and Mary and Monsignor Ward and all the laity that have gone before us, all the religious sisters and all the priests, have entrusted to us the future of our mother's sorrows. And not only that, you and I have been given a legacy to create a vision for our church going forward, for our world and for our time, the exact same way they created a church going forward for their world and for their time. And it is my conviction that the best way that you and I can articulate this mission for us going forward is to capture it in our vision statement. Those simple few words of our vision statement that says you and I are called to be beacons of Christian life here in Johnstown, welcoming all, igniting all to be intentional disciples of our Lord Jesus. And isn't it interesting that when John created his vision for the church going forward, that it is our understanding that Mary was with him every single step along the way. And if you and I are going to embrace our vision going forward as a church, it seems to me that Mary needs to be with us every single step along the way as we move forward as a parish. Way back when I came to be among you, back in 2010, you were all working on the celebration of your 90th anniversary. It was the dream of Father Paul to do that. But as you know, he died before the dream was realized. And you all carried forward, and we had a beautiful celebration of that 90th anniversary 10 years ago. And at that time, I had just come, I was here for months, and one of you asked me to share with all of you my vision for the parish going forward. I was just here for a few months, and I'm thinking, what am I going to share as my vision going forward for all of us here? And I mentioned three things in that little talk I gave down at the Pascarella Center 10 years ago. The number one, I said, you and I need to continue to deepen our celebration of this sacred liturgy. In other words, to deepen the Sunday experience. You and I live in the age of the church. And it is through the church, entrusted to all of us, that you and I are going to experience the risen Jesus Christ personally here in our midst. A church that is broken. A church that is deeply wounded. A church that needs to once again imagine itself in new ways so we can begin to build a vision going forward, healing so many different people, most especially the victims amongst us of abuse in so many different ways, of a vision of church for our time and for our world like they did for their time and their world. It is my dream that for every single one of us in the church here, that this Sunday liturgy be the very center of your week. Missing it, not missing it easily. Making it the very center of our lives every week so that Jesus Christ can be the very center of your life every single day. The second thing I mentioned was we need to be dedicated to a deepening of education in our parish. Small groups, adult education, We just started Alpha in four different sites, four different nights this last week. I went to every single one of them. You know, we have, and I'm being conservative here, over 150 people now taking the Alpha course in those four sites going forward. That's on top of the 1,400 who have already done the course. A most remarkable thing. And for our children, which is the most important thing, one of the most important things we do. Well, we've had our stops and starts along the way, but we are never, ever going to stop. We're never, ever going to try, never not going to be committed to the teaching of our children the mysteries of our faith. And the last thing I mentioned to you and all of that was you and I have to have a deepening of a commitment to community in our church. And back there 10 years ago, I quoted from one of the great prophets of our day, Jean Vanier. And he wrote this: "I doubt whether the leaders of society and the church today are sufficiently aware of the changing face of our people in the world which is crying out for it, in its anguish and loneliness, for a sense of belonging, for a sense of community. And you and I have made some beginnings to that. So it is my dream that Our Mother of Sorrows becomes an oasis, a spiritual home for the many, where they can come to find where they belong and to find community." Lastly, I quoted from a song in that, and I was looking at all that, and so Dan picks the music back there, and so I called him on the phone, and I said, "Hey, Dan, I got the perfect song for us to begin Mass this weekend." He says, "Oh, yeah, well, I already picked the music, you know." He's always way ahead of me. And so I'm going on and on and on about, I think this is a great song. Yeah, we really got to sing this song. This is perfect for us to sing this song. And he says, "What is it?" And I said, "All Are Welcome." And he said, "I already picked it. It's the one for today." I think that song, especially the song, the verses we sang, so that's divine providence, I hope, that really grasps our vision going forward. So as I did 10 years ago, down at the Pascarella Center, I would like to conclude my words today by quoting a few phrases from this song that we began tonight. "Let us build a house where love can dwell. Where prophets speak, where all are named, where words are strong and true, where the love of Christ shall end divisions, where as one we claim the faith of Jesus, where we bring an end to fear and danger, where we proclaim from floor to rafter to ceiling, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. And I believe we are well on our way of making that vision a reality."